Father, we just, even as we're going to get mad online, and I thank you for Armand's offer. We pray for absolutely your desire, your maximum offer, Armand. I thank you for Dallas, and this is you know, something that he was always on temporal contracts and at a lot less money, and now you really did a work. So we praise you for that. Lord, I do lift up our brother Sheriff. Be upon him as I know you are. Be upon him as I know you are, God. And just bless our time together, God. I would pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Let me get Matt here. This is so weird. There it is.
Hey,
Matt. Can you hear us?
Can't hear.
Wait. Let me. Hello.
Yeah.
Cool.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. I can hear
now
you.
Now we can.
Yeah. Cool.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, we're all here. All right, guys, definitely pray for me. I'm speaking here. Good morning, everyone. I was like, good morning. Today, I want to speak about something the Lord was laying on my heart, and I guess if you want to title it, it's going to be called "Sowing into Mundane Things." Sowing into mundane things, things that Jesus calls us to do. That aren't necessarily exciting, hyped up, or, you know, they're not even flashy, according to sight or on the surface. You know, they're on the surface, it just looks kind of, might be mundane and dull. In contrast to things that are hyped and have a lot of activity. And the reason why I ask you guys to pray for me as I'm speaking, because actually this is part of a bigger issue. And I'm asking the Lord to really get me a hold of what that is. It's a bigger issue of Christian celebrityism, of endurance and patience versus fads. And that's something that's, you know, maybe in the future, you know, I can go more into that. But for now, the main focus will be sowing into things that are mundane. And I'll get into scripture here. Philippians 2:1-8. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in an appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So in the context here, the context of really the main context is fellowship of the Spirit in verse 1. That's the main focus here. And spiritual unity. So definitely something to keep in mind. Verse 3, you have the aspect of selfish ambition and conceit and pride, you know.
Yeah.
And versus spiritual unity. So those things go, you know, they go against each other there. Again, even with the selfish ambition, keep that in mind as we're going through, because we're definitely going to bring that up. But humility and watching out for others, so me watching out for my fellow men here, my fellow brothers in Christ, that actually helps in true fellowship, that aids that. Verses 5-7, Jesus, despite being equal with God, he actually made himself of no reputation. No reputation at all. Coming in the likeness of man, and also think about it too, he worked with his hands as a carpenter for how long? Like his adult life? And this is the creator of the universe, you know, and he's coming in the likeness of man. And he even humbled himself to the point of death. So Jesus himself was a man of no reputation. You know, no reputation. His earthly ministry, it didn't have hype. It didn't have promotion. It didn't have fanfare. It says even Isaiah, I believe, where it says that if you were to look upon him, he just looked, you know, not someone you would desire, I believe is how it says in Isaiah. It's just an average-looking guy. But eventually his disciples, his 11 disciples eventually went on and it changed the entire world, you know. A man of no reputation. And this is not only restricted to that one time period where Jesus is walking on the earth, but that's also something we're going to be walking into, and also is for the modern times too. Verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." So this whole aspect of even no reputation is going to be common even for us modern Christians going from the time of Jesus to now. You know, there are many areas where Jesus actually is today and where the Lord is working with certain people today. And he's working, he's actually there, he's present. But those people in those places, they have no reputation. Yep. There's no hype.
That's good.
There's no popularity. And also, too, this is, again, another connected thing, which I'm not going to necessarily get into probably right now. No hype, no popularity. And also, sometimes the results are not immediate. They take time. So this whole issue here with everyday life versus hype and things like that, Jesus, he trained and discipled his guys a lot, even just in his everyday life. Just everyday life as he was going about, you know, hanging out with his disciples, traveling, eating with friends, going to the temple. Just even things which are, now of course he had instances like the Sermon on the Mount where he's actually, you know, preaching. But a lot of his discipleship was just everyday life, just living with you know, with his guys, you know. And all these things on the surface, they seem mundane. All of them just like, you know, just eating with someone, you know, living with someone, and then just kind of doing that. But through these areas, Jesus worked miracles. He spoke to people. He changed lives, even in this mundane context of working. I can even say, even if, you know, you just know, again, no different today, even with, you know, I can even use us as an example. As we go about our discipleship, yeah. You know, we, Josh, we run to people, and we, as we feel led, we, you know, speak into people, you know. And it's even in those mundane things, like, you can think, oh, we're just eating lunch, you know. Well, no, actually, the Lord is in the mix even of that, you know. And this is not something against, like, events in general. Because, and as events, by events, I mean, for this lesson, events, I'm talking about breaks from everyday life. Like these things where it's like this special event that you have, and it's a break from your everyday, right. Going for, you know. Even, I'm not against evangelism outings. I mean, there was even the one time, Matt, where I visited you in Purdue, they had that one evangelism outing, and I felt led to go join those people and, you know, help them with their evangelism thing.
Yeah.
So there's nothing against that. But sometimes what happens is you get these really big hype things, which are, it's almost like this weird bandwagon kind of thing that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost gets and falls into, it really falls a lot of times into selfish ambition. As we talked about in verse 3, where it's these events which are talked about as being, you know, about Jesus, but really it's about a person's own ambition, you know. The issue with nonstop, hyped up, big events, there's two things. First, they're unrealistic. You can't always be walking in an event.
Yeah.
You can't nonstop every day be having, it's unrealistic. What happens is that everyday life eventually comes, whether you like it or not. And everyday trials eventually come. And when that hits, if a person's a new believer and they don't have foundation, that hits, they can't handle it. They're thinking that all of Christianity is just one big event. No, that's you have to live life, you know, and you have to face trials, and you have to be refined by those trials. Number two, a lot of the fruit of pride and selfish ambition, which is connected with these, you know, sometimes these big things and you know, these hyped up things, you know, a lot of it is division that eventually happens. If in the context of this passage, if humility and watching out for others fosters fellowship, then then pride and selfish ambition fosters the opposite of fellowship. It fosters division, you know. James 4:1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure, even with war among, even the issue of desires too, desires for pleasure, how that creates conflict and it creates issues. Going back to the issue of a man of no reputation and going into like things like that, Jesus, how he works in areas in where there's even no reputation, where it's just like quiet and mundane. A lot of times the Lord will call us to places where there is no hype and there is no like fanfare. And walk in this, and he'll call us to walk in the same humility, and that's so that even so Jesus can operate in there, so we're not puffed up in pride and everything. We're walking in humility, so he can operate. And Eva, I'll bring up a couple examples here. Even with us, you know, Pastor Mike, we talked about this, the issue of evangelism and even prayer walking in the Heights. In the Heights. There's nothing glorious. There's nothing fanfarish or like hyped up about, you know, evangelism in the Heights in that area. It's you might be led to go there, and you might be literally led to only speak to one person, and that's it. And the thing is, though, is that the Lord calls you there, and you call you there to minister year after year after year after year after year, and still you're ministering there year after year after year in a spirit of you have no reputation. There's no fanfare. And I think it's because also we live in a microwave society, and we take so much influence from the world, where we're on to the next thing, jumping to the next thing. We're very impatient. We think that, oh, you know, nothing's happening here, so therefore God's not moving. When in actuality, no, the Lord is actually moving greatly. We're just blinded by it. You know, we're so caught up in sight, and we're so caught up in this, like, instant now mentality. Again, Lord may call it to the area. You minister there year after year after year. And this is something the question brought up to me in my spirit. Are you willing to sow into a location or a place for as long as the Lord has it, even though it looks like on the surface nothing's happening? And I put emphasis on looks, because the emphasis is on appears or looks, because, again, you can have someone walking in the Spirit and they'll see, yeah, the Lord is doing something here. And you have another person who's not walking, and they're walking more according to sight, and it could be the same location. They'd be like, well, nothing's happening here. No, they're completely blind to it, you know. It's more, again, so that's the emphasis of looks like something's not happening. I think we move for different reasons. We'd like to jump to different areas. We're impatient. Again, number one, we're impatient. Number two, there's certain areas or certain situations that aren't necessarily, like, again, glorious. They're kind of just like mundane. So we confuse mundane with the Lord not working, you know. Number three, to sow into a particular one area that the Lord has called you in over and over and over and over, whether it's praying for that area, speaking into people, whatever, I think there's also an aspect too where we struggle with being living epistles, as the scripture says. Because it's not a matter of you just going to a person or going to an area or whatever, and you're there, and then you leave, you're a lot of times ministering to the same people over and over and over again. So you have to actually live before that person, you're not just speaking. You know, you're actually living. And that, I think, is something we struggle. You know, we struggle with that. You know, we can speak. You know, Pastor Mike, you're talking about, though, we can speak and we can say things. Yeah. But to actually live and behind that, that's a different story. And this is something also the Lord is impressed. And this is actually another thing, too. This is not, there's nothing really wrong with the next thing I'm going to mention. But really, a lot of times we see ministries and churches that are actually legit preaching the gospel, you know, praying for people, getting healed and stuff. And we see a lot of media and stuff. I'm not going to go into name any names. And again, this is not really a bad thing. We see that, you know, we see, oh man, that ministry is praying for people. People are getting healed. You know, oh, they're doing all these, you know, outings and things like that and classes. And we see all this good stuff, legit ministries. But the Lord really impressed upon me this statement that we only really see the fruit of that ministries a lot of times. We don't see the groundwork, the years where there were more no reputation.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
We don't see the behind the scenes stuff, a lot of the stuff of those ministries. We're just seeing the present fruit that's taking place. And we're thinking, oh, why isn't our ministry, you know, right? Well, no, there was probably a whole decade where they were in the, you know, somewhere, you know, behind the scenes. And we're just seeing, oh, these videos of stuff with people where they're praying for people, laying hands, they're getting healed. No, there's a whole thing. We don't see the hours of prayer that take place.
No, that's a good point,
man. We don't see the dozens of times where people, where they may walk up to someone and they don't want to hear the gospel. So you may literally have where 10 people, they reject the gospel, but then they have on tape the one person who does want to hear it and who does want to get. We only see that. We don't see the dozens of times where people don't want prayer before someone does want prayer and they get healed. We don't see the hours of discipleship after someone does get saved,
right,
and they commit their lives to Christ.
Right.
We don't see the hours of discipleship. We don't see the hours of correction. We don't see where people fall away. I've had where people I discipled, where they fall away, you know, and you don't see that. You know, you just see the successes. And I'm not even necessarily downing on that. I'm not even necessarily, because even when you think about it, rightly so. I mean, they're not going to videotape a one-on-one discipleship thing. That's a personal thing, you know. So I don't really expect the ministry to kind of, that's like the nitty-gritty behind-the-scenes groundwork stuff. And that's the discipleship stuff. That can get kind of messy. You know, so I don't really expect the ministry to be like having a camera right there, like everyone, mm-hmm. you know. A lot of us here, are even, I want to even use this example even. Even Pastor Mike, you're into music. Matt, you're into filmmaking. Me, I'm more of into a writer. A lot of times when you have that finished product, whether it's a movie, a song, or a book, people don't see the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes into creation of those things. Like the hours, they're just seeing like the 10-minute, 3-minute song. They're not seeing the hours of work that goes into that song, or even with the filmmaking. I worked with filmmaking with you and other people too, Matt. They're not seeing all the stress behind the camera, where literally it takes like what, 10 hours to film like an hour of, you know, something crazy like that. You know, it's the same thing with even ministry, even more so. Where, again, people don't see the behind-the-scenes stuff. We're just seeing the surface stuff that's the mundane things, you know, the mundane things that people don't want to sow into. And if you even think about the issue of sowing, when you sow, whether you reap, you know, you reap what you sow, and also when Jesus talked about the parable of the sower, all that takes place in a is a time period. So you're not going to sow into the ground, and then you're not going to have an immediate sprouting up. No, there's a time aspect to it where it takes time. And I don't want necessarily, this is almost, again, another topic of it, but the whole issue of endurance, diligence, supernatural patience. A few examples with Noah, with Genesis 5, building a boat for, was it 100 years?
Yeah.
100 years.
I believe so.
You know, nothing's happening for 100 years. God called him at the beginning of the 100 years, and then he got rain at the end of it. Same thing, year after year after year after year. And the boat itself, a testimony against that old world, you know, is a testimony against it. Even the Lord sending, which is again a similar topic, sending Jeremiah to speak to a people, Jeremiah 7, to speak to a people who aren't even going to listen to him. You know, he's speaking to a people, and that's his ministry. That's his ministry, to speak to a people. Today we will think like, oh, the Lord hasn't blessed you. You know, the Lord hasn't blessed your ministry. No one's listening to you. No, that's actually what the Lord called him to do. And I know this deals more with like endurance, you know, that those, yeah, those kind of things.
Yes.
But it is interrelated. You know, it's interrelated to the aspect of sowing into things. Even when things don't look, they take time, or they don't look right, or you're being rejected, or things like that. Going into even the ending here, topic here, going back even to the heights, and even Wednesday night, I asked you guys to pray for my friend, Pastor Scott Reese in the Heights, who recently had some issues, and you know, his family's dealing with stuff. He was ministering in the Heights since the 70s. Mm. And so you think about that, 40 years, same area, ministering to the same people over and over and over again, seeing the same faces over and over again, 40 years. Definitely we ask the Lord for endurance. And outside of like local newspapers, he's not getting applauded. He's not getting any recognition, you know. And this has an example, you know. But Jesus sees, you know. Jesus sees that. And, of course, you know, he may visit other areas. You know, he may visit, you know, like here, you know, to visit a church, you know, whatever. And a person may ask, well, don't you go to other areas? You know, like for me, well, don't you go to, well, right. Yeah. If I'm in Chicago, of course I'm trying to be sensitive as I'm going to and fro,
right,
work. You know, that's a course. Or if I'm visiting, let's say I'm visiting, you know, Matt and Purdue, of course I'm trying to be sensitive as I'm in Lafayette. But the particular call where the Lord wants me to be, that's a different story. That's a focal point, you know. And again, this is a repeat of the same question. As we come to a close here, are you willing to sow into a place year after year, where Jesus called? That's the key. That's the key. That's because the particular things where Jesus, it's not just anywhere. It's a particular area where the Lord calls you to be. Even when things are mundane and there's no recognition. So that's definitely, that's pretty much it for today. Just for this morning. Definitely Pastor Mike or Matt or anyone, if you have any thoughts, feel free.
No, I mean, I agree. I think it's a good point you bring up. And like you said, sowing Scott, the Pastor Scott sowed all those years. And the surgeon's heart, we sow into not necessarily that which makes us happy, but that which makes God happy. And there's a difference. And I believe me, I know the difference in that people often find something that kind of stimulates them, and that's God. But when you sow into something like my friend Matt Black, who was in Turkey for 29 years, I went out at the 12-year mark and nothing. I mean, the man goes to, by himself, no spouse, to a foreign country, you know, wants to plant churches, wants to help the Turkish people, has a burden for the gazillion Muslims that are there. When I went out at 12 years, Matt was actually thinking about folding up tent, you know, because you want something to show. I mean, more than, he had some connections, he was in working with some churches, but it was real minimal. And they, I didn't realize it, but I was sent out there. They felt like I could speak into Matt to encourage him. And I go out there, and it was a good time, and we ministered, and then, you know, Matt kind of got a new breath of, I don't know what you call it, resolve, commitment, both. And then, you know, within about another 8 years, it's 18 years, things started to pop. By the time Edgerton kicked him out, they had 28 churches birthed. Mm. But that was almost a 30-year journey, and like you said, and Matt was an unimpressive guy. He had a stutter when he talked, actually, so he was a teacher. He was a teacher in Kansas, high school teacher. And Matt was just this little, we called him Barney Fife. He was this really thin, he reminded us of Barney Fife. And, but again, he just sewed, and people supported Matt, but you know, guy's got 29 churches, and he actually, those churches birthed now another 50. But you would never, you would look at Matt and talk to him. He would not impress you. He didn't have the charisma. He was very, like, systematic, very disciplined, very committed. But I thought about a man that had a desire to reach the people of Turkey, absolutely outside of his comfort zones, outside of what made him happy, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, a lot of, and I believe, I just, it's, I can't add really, just, I guess I'm echoing off what you're saying. But I do believe a lot more no names, just normal people, are God's going to raise up, because we do still love our celebrities. It's unfortunate. It really is. We still put people on a pedestal in a way where we want a king like the other nations. But I think a lot of no name people sowing and sowing and sowing, you know what I mean, is going to bring about a really amazing thing. I see more and more signs of it. So, yeah, I just agree with you. It's just a good thing. It's a good thing. Sowing in obscurity, reaping in eternity.
Right.